Well, let's start with prayer. Let's ask God's blessing. Oh God, we look to you to help us this morning as we appear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, appear before you. We thank you that we have the assurance that if we call upon the name of the Lord, if we call upon the name of the Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ himself, we shall be heard, we shall be saved, we shall be received. Speak to us this morning through your word, just this simple service, and then help us to pray. But may the blessing be ours and the glory be yours for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now, this morning, where I'm staying with the Pibworths. You know Nigel and Janice, they come here. And prayer was made for this morning's service. And I think it was Nigel who prayed that God would use me to have a word of comfort for you. So when we finished praying, I said, I don't think I've got a word of comfort for them this morning. No, I got a very difficult word for you. And it's a very difficult word because it's very difficult, more difficult for me than it is for you. It's not difficult theologically. It's not difficult from a biblical point of view in the sense of trying to understand it. We'll all understand it. You know it like falling off a log is easy. The problem with the text I have is the doing of it. Eric Gurr from Melbourne Hall in Leicester used to say, I saw it in, I think, the Gospel magazine about 50, 60 years ago. He wrote, it's not the things in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me, it's the things that I do understand. Jesus one day, Luke chapter 12, was addressing thousands upon thousands. They were crowding so tight around him, they were standing on one another's feet to get to him. And so, of course, he preached a nice, jolly, happy message, you see, didn't he? Then you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ if you think that. He never preached jolly, happy little messages. This is what I read in my Bible, Luke chapter 12. Let me take it up at verse 8. There's many things we could read here, but I'm just going to, just in the few minutes we got. Luke chapter 12 and verse 8. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denies me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever, and so on, it goes on. And then verse 11, and when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what you shall answer or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. And what I want to concentrate on in just these few minutes is this, whosoever shall confess me before men. Acknowledge me, that's perhaps a better way of translating it. Own up to me. Speak of me before men. Now, I said it's a difficult text. I'll explain why. But let me tell you a way to get round it. Do you like a way to get round the Bible text? You know, make it easy for us. You see, well, some people say, what this text means is, when you stand to preach, like I'm doing this morning, you see, don't do any preparation. Take no thought. When you stand before men, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak at the very moment you want them. You don't have to do any preparation. Just go there, and the Lord will give you the word at the moment you speak. There's a whole denomination, actually, locally, where the ministers act like that. They glory in the fact that they don't prepare. They don't know what they're going to speak on. You can ask them on a Saturday night, what you're speaking on tomorrow, whatever his name is, and he won't know. He won't know until he gets into the pulpit. And they think it's wonderful. A man said to Spurgeon once, he said, I speak, he said, without any preparation, he said, and I think nothing of it. He said, you're quite right to think nothing of it. That's what most people think of it. This passage has nothing to do with preaching. It's to do with persecution.
Yes.
Yeah. Nothing to do with preaching. That's a doddle. That's easy. This is persecution. Now, of course, we don't get any persecution here, worth the name. Of course, if we were living in North Korea, or Eritrea, or Nigeria, or lots and lots and lots and lots of places, we're in the minority, my brothers and sisters. The real believers, mostly throughout the world, are suffering today. As I speak to you, they're actually under this persecution. And there's a tremendous promise here about the Lord Jesus. When they take you before men, of course, they're far more intelligent than you. They got far more, whatever it is. But never mind. Trust in me. I will give you the words to say. It's for persecution. That's the point. Okay? There's no way around this text. Now, we don't suffer persecution. But let me tell you where the difficulty is here. For me. When I witness to people, and I try, this won't apply to you perhaps, but it applies to me. When I try to witness before people, I can talk about religion. I can talk about churchianity. I find that easy. I can talk about doctrine. The sticking point for me is to own Christ. To own the Lord Jesus Christ before men. Some of you will remember Aubrey Cartwright. Remember Aubrey Cartwright? Yeah, you learned all your life. Yeah. Well, you don't know Aubrey, but Aubrey's in glory now. But I used to take Aubrey with me preaching, and we used to be invited out to tea. And we went to a certain place, no names, no pack trail, but we went to a certain place, and we would always have good conversations over the tea table. Except Aubrey had spotted something. He said, yes, he said, X, I won't mention his name. He does talk about spiritual things in inverted commas. He said, but he's always talking about chapel. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, they got a new pastor down at, they got an old pastor leaving at X, or, all that kind of stuff. What Aubrey wanted was talk of Christ. Now, whatever you think about Aubrey Cartwright, he wanted talk of Christ. And this is what Christ demands of me in this text. Even with relations. Of course, this doesn't apply to you, does it? You find it easy, don't you? Yeah. But I don't. To own the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what we're called to, brothers and sisters. This is what we're called to. This is not a comforting message for you. This is not a comforting word. It's a challenging word. And it's challenging to me. I am preaching on it, but now I've got to go and do it. I've got to own up to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not religion. That doesn't save me. It's not infant baptism or believer's baptism. That doesn't save me. It's not praying or the Bible. I'm not saying these things are unimportant. Don't misunderstand me. But the thing is, the sticking point is always Christ. Because Christ is the only Savior. No wonder Paul says, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And No man can say that Jesus is Lord, you see. This is the sticking point, except by the Spirit. Of course, you can teach a parrot to say it, can't you? But it's owning him. What a wonderful thing. Here he stands before this, thousands upon thousands in this crowd, and he preaches stuff like this. It's not the temple, it's not Judaism, it's not churchianity, it's me. It's me. And that's what I want to leave you with, brother and sister. It's been a challenge to me to speak this, because I've got the greater responsibility. But now we've all got it. The only thing that will save sinners is Christ. That's not a thing, it's a person. Trust in him. So let's own up to the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're not being persecuted, but even embarrassment is such a terrible thing to me. Because really, I'm a very shy man. I know you don't think I am, but I am really a very shy man. And I think we're all shy, probably, underneath. And we do get embarrassed. Let's confess it. But the truth is, whoever acknowledges me, let's be those who acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, eh? For his glory. Amen.